I saw old white people.
I definitely did, but I also saw young white people.
I saw some slightly older than young people, white people.
Poor white people.
Yeah, some poor white people, less poor white people.
Mm-hmm. What about white people who have money but still like Atreyu?
I saw some of them there. They were at the stage. I saw white people from Wisconsin.
I also saw white people from Minnesota.
Wow. I mean, that is like a sea of diversity.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine, but...
It's 2020, people, and you're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast. We are here to give you two reasons to swipe right. That's our hosts, Loose Cannon and Baco. Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and it is now 2020, bitches. I am joined by the undercover Loose Cannon. Happy New Year, Loose.
Happy New Year to you. Yes, I am undercover today. I'm in podcasting from the Cobras Mobile Studio, but upgraded, as you can hear from the sound quality.
Yes, you are. You're coming through loud and clear.
That's right.
So I prefer one or the other, but, you know, hey, we got to give the people what they want, though.
I forgot to, we didn't have a chance to, because when we recorded, but I didn't have a chance to say happy holidays.
Oh, happy holidays to you, too. And if that offends you, happy holidays.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. How was your holiday season? Did you have any interactions with other members of your family?
You know, of course, yeah. We had the get together here at the house with the kids and their spouses. And I got to tell you, the last few years of the gifts that I've been getting, I do kind of feel like the universe is paying me back for my childhood, where, you know, Christmas gifts really weren't all that great. I hope my mom's not listening, but
my
parents did the best they could. That's not a complaint. I always had a lot of fun, you know, with family and stuff over the holidays, so I don't have any bad memories, but I definitely was not a spoiled kid when it came to toys.
Sounds a little like a complaint.
You're right. And so then maybe that's why I feel guilty. But yeah, I'm actually just blessed to enjoy the time, because now I really don't give a fuck. I basically buy shit I want now. And it's just nice that, I don't know, it just seems weird. I'm definitely spoiled, and it's I definitely don't deserve it. So, but yeah, I had a couple get-togethers. Now, I missed the big get-together with... because of the timing and everything, that wasn't the same that we could work it out with the kids. I didn't get to go to the one that I talked about. I at least mentioned it once last year, but I believe I brought it up other times, where it's, you know, the small town, the farmers, the southern Minnesota crowd. We went down to the next day and met with Amy's mom and a couple of her aunt and uncles. And this year, there were so few people there, so few men. I was asked if I had a knife when someone had a hard time, and it was actually it wasn't even for a present. It was to open some napkins.
Oh, napkin! You need a knife for napkins? That's
turned out we did. Big... I had to go into the kitchen and find one. This thing was fucking sealed tight.
All right, well, that's an impressive wrapping from the factory on napkins. I've never needed any kind of sharp blade to get those open, but all right, so you didn't have one though, but somebody else did.
Well, hopefully next year one of those they do a Secret Santa thing every year. Hopefully one of the whoever gets me will get me a holster knife that I can just wear every time I go down there. That way I feel like an idiot, you know, not prepared.
What are those butterfly knives that basically are guaranteed to cut you? the ones you would flip around.
Oh, well, there's different kinds, but the Leatherman is the choice of the hip wearing knife wearer.
Talking about the ones that are like, it's like almost like it came out about the same time as Ninja Stars, where you try to do tricks with it. And
every butterfly knife I've ever seen came from like a county fair, and that thing is about as sharp as a butter knife, so you don't get hurt too much other than banging your knuckles trying to master the craft of a butterfly knife. You ever notice that a lot of like the stuff that are used in like, you know, for what's that style of fighting you're talking about? I was going to say Chinese kung fu karate. The Chinese fighting. Karate movies, Bruce Lee. You ever notice, no matter whether it's just the fighting itself or like the things like the nunchucks or the butterfly knives, there's always a lot of buildup before they do anything. It's like, and then nobody ever seems to get hurt. They take just a shit ton of beating and can just give it back. We're getting a little off topic here. Not a lot of Christmas stories. I think the funniest thing I heard this year was, I didn't think the Jews ate the pork. But how about you, man? How was things for the Loose Cannon family for Christmas this year?
This year was super low key. Basically, we had the only thing I'll just mention is that on Christmas Eve, we had a couple friends over, and one of them was the new boyfriend of one of my wife's friends, and his name was Nacho, and I knew that he was coming over. So I had all kinds of, you know, Nacho cheese jokes and things like that ready for him, but I opted not to use them. What do you think?
Yeah, that was a mistake, man.
All right, well, you know, I just was in the Christmas spirit. But the thing I was really disappointed is the other friend was supposed to bring over a boyfriend that I had seen a picture of that apparently they broke up right before, but he had a neck tattoo in the picture, as well as there's two things that I'm an old man about, and that is about facial or things you do to your body as far as piercings and stuff. One of them,
I'm making a bold prediction here. I'm going to be 100% on board with whatever these are, because I think one's already going to be a neck tattoo. But carry on.
All right. So first off, neck tattoos. And also the things on in the ears that expand like Africans or whatever, but they're
gauges.
Is that what you call them? Yeah. Okay. So this guy had one that wasn't
my,
the small
one. My son-in-law has one.
I remember that. I forget how big.
Shout out to Logan.
Okay. This guy had about like a half to three quarter inch ones where they're just kind of dangling. And my son, his math teacher has them too. Fourth grade math teacher. And I can't do anything but stare at them when I go to parent teacher conferences. I'm like, what the fuck did you decide it? What I'm saying is, there's two things. If you're going to do that to your ears or your neck, that's a big leap for employment. Yeah. Yes?
Well, it used to be. It doesn't seem like it is now.
I think a neck tattoo is still. That's something. I mean, what do you do to it?
What about tattoos on your fingers?
But if you go in for an interview, like I knew this realtor that was had two sleeves, just like Tommy, all the way to his wrists and stuff like that. But he had long sleeve shirts, and he could pull it off, you know, during the day, and then he could rock out at night or whatever like that. But a neck tattoo, you got to be like the guy from what's that thing that Fred from Scooby Doo wears all the time, the ascot.
yeah, you're not wrong.
Okay, so you gotta at least have that on if you're going in for an interview. I mean, neck tattoos, that's right before a face tattoo.
Yeah,
an extreme.
I mean, it's definitely not my cup of tea. I'm kind of irritated with how, I don't know, the tattoos in general have jumped the shark, that they don't have any of the meaning that they used to. And even though it's a lot safer, you know, you used to be worried that people with a lot of tattoos were going to, you know, stab you. Now you're just like wondering if they're going to cook your food right.
Okay, I can see that. Anyway, so it was neck tattoos and nachos for my Christmas Eve. But
nice.
I do have a story from the past I just wanted your opinion on, if I could.
Let's hear it. This is like a holiday time thing, or just a family thing, or both?
No. This is a holiday from years past. It's a classic in my psychological makeup from about.
So this is going to give us a peek into like what made you who you were, or not.
I think I was the same person.
Let's go with it.
But it still makes me angry.
Oprah's supposed to be in town here this week, so I'm starting to channel her. To keep Kid Rock away.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway.
So the breakdown is this. And there's some build up before this. So I'll just say that that basically my brother-in-law and myself have not seen eye to eye for many years. And about 2 years before this happened, one of them has to do with a financial situation with helping out a certain family member over the years that has been one-sided. You got that? Just
got
to
it.
Start out with?
I'm guessing okay. You're on the side that has helped.
Correct. Yes. And okay. The side that is ignored and not even acknowledged the fact of the help. But anyway, so that is important going into this. But essentially, we had them over for Christmas. Is
he by chance also like willing to like sponge off you in any opportunity or
in a way? Yeah, there's years past where unannounced, not even asking for anything. And they actually didn't live in the country at this time. They would come over for a week at a time and just expect without asking to just borrow my car whenever they wanted to.
Is your brother-in-law my mom?
No, that would be odd.
Yeah, that would be weird.
My brother-in-law has a vagina. Is that the name of the show? Like the other one?
Start a new podcast.
All right. But anyway, so there's stuff like that. Just normal, I guess, rules or manners are out the window. So this is when I lived in Florida, and so it wasn't Winter Wonderland during the holidays, and we have this HOA that always makes us keep our house to a certain standard. But basically, they made us
clean our roof. An HOA, for the uneducated listeners, is a homeowners association where you basically pay people to tell you what to do with your property.
That is completely correct, and it pretty much is unavoidable in Florida.
Worse than taxes.
Yes.
Oh, really?
It's like a mafia.
Well, there's a lot of retired people in Florida, so it makes sense, I guess. Anyway, I'm diverting. Carry on.
No, right. But it always goes sideways. Like, there's always like the HOA Nazis and things like that, and you have to fight for things. And one thing they do, which is really fun, is they'll go and just say your roof needs to be cleaned, and you have 30 days to get it done, or there's a fine. Okay. So anyway, so our roof is being cleaned, which means there's chemicals dripping off the sides of it and things like that. They've got this huge, high-powered devices doing such. So anyway, so he knows this is going on, but he doesn't, do any kind of prep work, wait until somebody has done spraying. And he walked under the roof and some stuff dripped on him. So he walks inside and from the chemicals, his shirt, his brand new shirt, apparently is bleached. His shoes are bleached, and the
roof cleaning hit his person. And,
yeah, exactly. We'll just call it bleach, but he's got chemicals on. He's got the band of his watch all bleached.
And it ruined a shirt and a pair of shoes. And he
most importantly, his watch band. So he goes, "What are you going to do about this?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He pulls up a receipt of his watch where he just got. It's made of like alligator skin from like Zimbabwe or
something.
My kind
of guy, man.
Yeah, and he's got a receipt.
He's got
and basically,
the receipt on his person.
He's got it on his email, and he just shows all of this is basically has a combination of like $400 in damage because the watch band alone was like $300. What are your thoughts about this situation? What would you do
in your position or his?
His. Okay. You're him to begin with. You walk under a dripping roof. And then what is your next move?
Big shock. I'm going to play a little devil's advocate. mainly because I want to poke at you. But no, I don't know the guy. It sounds like this is not something that actually goes away with a little calmness. I might be prone, as you know, if something just sets me off for a moment, if I don't get 5 minutes of no interaction with people, I may not act appropriately. And then I might act like him. I might say, this is your fault. You should be required to pay for this. I got a feeling when I calm down, I would be really bummed about it, especially if that stuff cost a lot of money. I mean, I have to put it in context, right? I would never buy a watch band I don't wear a watch. I don't know, $400 in clothes? I don't know that I have ever, I've never worn an outfit, maybe other than for prom, where the clothes might have cost $400.
If I was at your house and I went to your backyard and I walked in your grass and I stepped in dog shit and you didn't own a dog, I wouldn't tell you, or if you even did, I wouldn't say you have to replace my shoes.
You can't scrape dog shit off a shoe without, you might want me to clean them though, right?
No, I wouldn't do anything. I'd say, look, I wasn't watching where I was going.
Where's the hose?
and I fucked up. So point being is, it wasn't me. I wasn't on the roof with a fucking bleach hose spraying him.
This sounds like
down.
A Judge Judy episode. Like, who is at fault here? Maybe the homeowners association. You should have sent him to them. They're the ones that fucking made this whole chain of events in place, right? Because
right.
of a dirty roof. What does that even mean? How dirty was your fucking roof, man?
It's just a normal cleaning you have to do in Florida every 5 years or whatever. But so anyway, getting to this though, so he goes, what should I do? He's like, well, you need to go after that company and have them reimburse me.
Hmm.
So I ended up having to go through all this process, do all this stuff, and end up and then through all this, I just wanted to see what would happen. Let's say we did all this and you were angry and it was 2 or 3 days later and I hand you a check for $400. You're staying at my house for a week, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you do with that check?
At that point, I'm probably already regretful. I'm not sure. The best I can come to give a real life scenario, some buddies and I, you know, like when I was in college, we came back from the bar and started roughhousing a little bit, and my glasses got broke in the process. There was never intent to break my glasses, but the fact of the matter is somebody broke them. While I was fucking hammered, it was his fault. It took about a week before I could actually muster up, because it turned into a fight that night after that. I had to reconcile the event myself because I was like, hey, look, I'll get new glasses. I'm not really blaming you. We were just messing around. You know what I mean? So this seems similar to a situation like that, except for he wasn't drunk. He's just a dick and he still wants the money. I don't know that I think by that point, my cooler head would have definitely prevailed. And I would have said, I don't know, this is out of your own pocket, not from the company.
Correct. It's out of my own pocket. In short, I had to, basically, it wasn't me. It was this company. And I was told to go after the company, deal with their whole risk management, blah, 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 blah. Spend all this time doing this bullshit. When in the end, I didn't get anything. And I ended up handing this guy a check for $400, which he happily accepted, cashed, and then stayed with me in the next 5 days. Merry fucking Christmas.
Hello, Lakeland. Y'all ready to rock in the Sunshine State? They got rednecks wrestling pythons. They got drunk girls going wild. Party with margarita villas and serial killers while you watch a gator eat a child. They proudly lead the nation in public masturbation. They're jerking up all over the place. Forget the key lime pie, let's get a bath salt high and munch on a stranger's face. Because anything goes in Florida. Come on down and do your worst. Snort a rail of a dolphin, naked and a coffin. Chances are you won't be the first. Do it anything, anywhere, anytime in the valley. They got meth labs and magic kingdoms, titty bars and the KKK. And when shit goes down, you can stand your ground and blow your neighbor away. Because anything goes to Florida. Baby, let the good times roll. If there's a law, you can duck it. If you catch it, you can fuck it. It's America's glory hole. Talking anything, anywhere, any night, and any day. In a
Wow, did you write that song?
Yeah, I mean, Vince Neil helped.
I'm guessing because of our unique setup today that you are not drinking a beer right now, Loose Cannon.
No, I didn't grab a silo from the grocery store and just wink at the cashier and say, time for lunch.
My birthday, my wife bought me an Advent beer calendar with a bunch of German beers where you open it during the first 24 days of December. So I brought those down to my my stepson's house here in Waseca, Minnesota, where I'm currently recording from his kitchen. And if it's all right with you, I'm going to crack open something called a Whitman Urquell Unser Original.
Ooh, that sounds good. By the way, I forgot to mention, for my Christmas gift, I got a t-shirt that says, Dog Beers I've Had 1/7.
That's not, I want one.
Very, very controversial t-shirt when you wear it out.
I don't know. We may need to address the dog beer math again at some point in 2020. But
I think so.
With that, we had a pretty good 2019, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. I want to pause to say thank you to the listeners. I put this in the private group. Essentially, the amount of listens we had to our show in 2019 were more than 2017 and 2018 combined. So thank you to everyone. Quick round of applause.
Thank you.
To anyone who has shared our show with anybody. The previous years, we've had more reviews. I think more because we pushed for them. So if you could, maybe just pause the show right now. Go to that podcast app you're listening to. Go to Podchaser, whatever. Just throw some stars up there. Quick blurb about us. We'd really appreciate it. But regardless, thank you so much. We would talk to the wall probably anyway.
Yeah, I enjoy it. So.
So for the last 2 years, we've taken pride in always coming out with new content every Tuesday. And Tuesday is always going to be our release date. But now, going forward, it's going to be every 2 weeks. Every Tuesday, you're going to get a fresh new Cobras episode.
Correct. And then we'll still be doing the interviews throughout the year. So those will probably just be spliced in on open weeks. And there'll probably be times where just in an emergency situation, we'll need to do an extra one. Plus, you know, I mean, there's the asshole radios and the Ripe Rocks that'll probably fill in some of those gaps as well. But yeah, as far as fresh, brand new Cobras and Fires episode, just to keep it consistent, this is what we can guarantee. And it's just basically to make lives a little less hectic for both of us, if I understand it right.
That's right. This way we're not scrambling for Blabbermouth articles last minute because there's no new ridiculousness has come out.
Yeah, and I'm actually, part of me is open because I don't know, maybe we shouldn't tell the listeners this, but a lot of times we'll record two or three episodes at a time.
Ooh,
and sometimes
secret.
When they come out, like the news we're talking about is about a month and a half old. So maybe we can get a little fresher when we come to that, trying to do one at a time every 2 weeks. But anyway, yeah, that's the big news there. So it's a little just we're going to tie into that. But you mentioned reviews, and one of the things we're going to commit to being better at is to actually read the reviews when we get them. We do have a fairly fresh one here from a guy named Jason Campbell. He posted it on December 19th, so keeping it fresh.
Ooh.
So Jason wrote, this is it comes from the Facebook page. They're almost as sarcastic as I am, and they play music that I actually enjoy. My favorite podcast. Keep it up, boys. Thank you, Jason. I'm glad we're finally someone's number one. I mean, you know, we get a lot of leftovers from, you know, the Decibel Geek crowd and Talk to Me and stuff like that. But yeah, suck it, Stephen Michael.
Yeah, this one usually says this is, like these other podcasts. This is one I tolerate. Is usually how it goes.
Yeah. Anyway, well, let's get into some of the social media stuff. Why don't you the Stitcher program is still going on. Remind our listeners the special deal they can get if they use a Cobras and Fire link on the brand new Stitcher Premium.
If you go into the Stitcher app, you can actually upgrade to Stitcher Premium using the code COBRA. Just all caps, COBRA. It's going to give you 1 month of free access where you get no ads, you get bonus content from your favorite shows out there, and also exclusive content. There's tons of podcasts that are only available to Stitcher Premium users. So,
plus, you get 1 month of Disney Plus for free too, right, Luce?
No, that's not correct. Not at all.
Did I have that wrong?
You did have that wrong. Please stick to the actual script that I have here.
Tell them one more time what they got to type in to get the 30 days free.
So when you're in the Stitcher app, you just go to the Premium tab, enter the code COBRA to get no ads, bonus content, and exclusive episodes.
And we were talking about the Cobras and Fire group that you shared, kind of the thank you for everybody for the year. You should swing by Facebook.com, search out the Cobras on Fire group. We just got a couple more members today. You get to talk to other people who are in the group. You can also find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Cobras and Fire. Our Twitter handle is @CobrasFire. And of course, the best way to find all of these places, quick links just to take you right to each one of these spots. Where is that, Luce?
That is the sexy website, CobrasandFire.com.
Back and running you.
could just pause for a moment to pour a little liquor for those that have passed in 2019. And one I want to talk about specifically is Paul Stanley.
Yes, Paul Stanley, P-A-W-L. Paul Stanley on Twitter is no longer a thing. Twitter got a complaint and took it down.
Can you explain what Paul Stanley on Twitter is, please?
Paul Stanley, P-A-W-L, on Twitter was a parody account where this character, Paul Stanley, would tweet out, I don't know, self-indulgent, kind of negative shit, and then hashtag it live to win all the time. I have one of the tweets right here. You can't find him anymore, so hopefully this is nice. But this is about in regards to the Vinny's birthday bash. Not for nothing, but I'll bash Vinny whether it's birthday or not. Hashtag live to win.
Nice.
So, yeah, and I suppose at this time I can probably come public on this a little bit, at least for myself and one of the other contributors. But yeah, over the years, you were actually one of the first people to ask, and of course, I did let you get behind the curtain on this one, so you've known. But to the people who have asked, I am one of the people who runs Paul Stanley's. I ran, I should say, the Paul Stanley Twitter account. So it's myself, Rob Kern, and I don't. So if you're friends with Rob Kern or on Facebook, you probably already know who the third guy is. I just don't feel comfortable saying his name right now. Maybe he doesn't want it out there. I know Rob and I came public on it, but with that said, Rob, I'm talking about from the from Out of Nowhere podcast. Missed that, by the way, and also the Loud, Drunk, and Angry show on Uncontrolled Noise Radio Network, and I think my uncle at some point, somehow he's a role model for me, that's for sure. But yeah, Rob and I started this I don't know, years ago. Paul Stanley used to like text or tweet these motivational things like, this 92-year-old woman just ran a marathon. What did you do today? Hashtag live to win. So on a lark, and I was probably drinking, I messaged Rob. I'm like, it would really be fun to fill Twitter with, like, in my head, it was just going to be my personal Twitter page and his personal Twitter page, where we would tweet much more shady, almost Cobra Hack type things, and then hashtag it live to win, with the idea that we were just going to hijack live to win. It's like, just cut in front of just paid for my Caribou coffee with money out of the tip jar, live to win. That kind of shit, and it turned in, and then next thing I know, Rob is sending me a message. He's got the Twitter account set up, and he's like, go at it. And so, yeah, for the last, four or five years, we've been, just having a lot of fun with the KISS universe. we have a theory, too. We actually think Paul Stanley, the real one, kind of secretly enjoys it. Now, Paul was eventually followed by both Gene's kids. He was blocked by Tommy Thayer and Gene Simmons, and just in the last year, Paul Stanley. But I'm pretty sure the permanent suspension came via a tweet about Vinnie Vincent, because it was about an hour after that I tweeted out. I had shared a news story where the headline was, Vinnie Vincent talks about what's missing from him, what's keeping him from releasing a box set. And I said, what's keeping him from leasing a box set is interest. My pajamas cost more than your car. Looking good, Vin. Live to win. So, and shortly after that, like, all of a sudden the account was suspended. We looked into it, and it's a permanent suspension for impersonating somebody, even though there are tons of parody accounts on Twitter, and this one was clearly marked as a parody account.
Can I tell you one of them that I enjoyed?
Yeah,
from back
what's
in the
up?
Day was, he goes, I love super gluing nickels on the floor, so when Gene tries to pick them up, he throws out his back. Live to win.
Inspired by a true story. Here's another one. I just signed off on this year's Kiss Cruise merch. I had no idea 4XL was a size. Hashtag live to win.
I remember that one. Yeah. How many tweets? 500?
Oh, it was close to 1,000, yeah.
Wow.
But, it had really picked up some popularity recently. Maybe thanks to shows like Shout Out Loudcast. I know they talked about it a couple times, so thank you guys for that. Here's another one that I love. Every time I meet a fan on the Kiss Cruise, I think, I've been taking this guy's allowance for 40 years. Hashtag live to win. But I think we might have mentioned that one somewhat recently. But
you did. It's all right. But it's still good to hear. But I remember, too, that when I first met you, though, I asked you about it, and you fucking denied it until you knew me more.
Oh, yeah.
You finally told me.
We were going to keep it a secret, I mean, it was just like,
yeah.
I think Rob actually let it out of the bag with Chris Sinzak. I'm not positive. Chris can confirm that. But yeah, anyway, it was a lot of fun. Rob and I did most of the contributing, and actually for the, probably the last year, it was largely me. Rob had some crazy shit going on in his own life that kept him from important shit like tweeting on the fake Paul Stanley account. But the gentleman that I won't name was active probably the first few months of it. But again, I there's no issue there. I just don't want to. I haven't spoken to him, and I just haven't really heard that he wants to be known.
Guarantee it was because you finally made some Vinnie Vincent jokes on there, or more yeah. at the time.
Whatever. It's just the timing of it went, and you know, him and his crowd have a tendency to be a little bitches about shit. So
yeah, so thanks a lot, you humorless fucks.
Top five episode, you kind of reminded the listener that your goal every year is to own the top five albums on your personal list on vinyl, and you talked about your own struggles just accomplishing that feat. I ran into my own complication just buying some vinyl recently that kind of reminded me of that comment. Is it okay if I share it with you?
Please.
All right. Well, I bought the new Danko Jones. And it came to me, and I open it up. I'm excited to play this thing. It's got a nice little, they call it ice blue or snow blue or something like that. And I put this thing on my turntable, and it doesn't fit. Like, the hole is too, I'm going to have to get a drill and poke the hole and drill it out. It's not snug, because I have records that are kind of snug and are kind of tough to put on and on. You kind of got to be careful so you don't snap it. This fucker just teeters on that little arc of the nub. Do they have different size turntable nubs in Canada? I don't know. It reminded me of you. So I haven't even heard the damn thing. Yeah, it's a metric hole, not a standard. So
yeah.
Oh man, what do you think about that, Lewis Cannon?
Well, I'm actually okay. So you actually got the one that was blue, as well.
Yes, I did.
Gatefold.
Yep.
Okay, so apparently this was on the same run. So I got mine yesterday too, and I was like, "Is it the Danko Jones one he was bitching about?" But I was thrilled to get it. You know, beautiful gatefold. Looks great, blue vinyl. I put it on the turntable. I'm like, "Huh, this feels a little snug." But unlike you, I wanted to really listen to this record, so I pressed it down.
Is it still on there?
And apparently, I need to buy a new record player, and that one's just my Danko Jones record player, because that motherfucker is not coming off. I'm like, how is this? There's like little creases on the thing. I'm like, how hard is it to have the right size drill bit? Why is this so difficult? I had to take that thing off with like a...
The thing you used to remove a steering wheel?
Yeah. I'm sitting here slowly moving it over. It took like 5 minutes to get out without snapping record in half. And the entire time I'm thinking about this is I remember seeing a cartoon that was shared in our group that says, the thing that attracts me to vinyl the most is both the expense and the inconvenience. I'm like, how is it this difficult? But then
I like how you remember the cartoon, but not who shared it.
Oh, who did it?
It was me.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. Some other person. Rick. Okay, it was you. Well done. I'm sure nobody's ever shared that cartoon before.
No, I don't remember who I stole it from.
But yeah, so doing this, I'm like, okay. So I'm going through the expense of getting this. I can't get so I'm going through the expense. I love music. This is what I'm getting at. I'm like, why am I even going through all this? Why don't I just buy some posters and some artwork and listen to it streaming? Because this is too much difficulty. But then I drop the needle. Have you actually listened to the record yet?
No, I still have to get that. I have to get out the old craftsman or the skill drill.
So that's the next thing I did is I went and got through all my drill bits and I stuck it in there and slowly turning it and charring little pieces of cardboard. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I'll actually probably use a file of some sort. But
okay, whatever. But I'm doing this and then I drop the needle on the record and it is so quiet. It's defective. The actual vinyl is defective. It's to the point where I would put other ones on there where the point is like it halfway cranked.
So the level
cranked.
Is like kind of like it's pressed low or something like that.
Way low. I've never even had anything. Like it's the quietest thing.
Thanks.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if that's – I'm guessing we had the same production run from the hole size. But I'm like that.
Hey, did you get a download code on like a piece of photocopy paper that was clearly cut by hand with a scissors?
Right, that's what I'm saying too. I was looking for the download code.
For $30, you can get those printed on that digital website, Instaprints something like that,
or just like a business card. Yeah, the inside of it.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you just get a business card with that information on there, and it'll look a little better anyway.
Was your blue vinyl outside of the record thing too? Like inside the
No, it was in it. The sleeve. Yeah.
No, mine was outside in the plastic thing and the actual...
Sure your mailman didn't open it and play it?
I don't know. So, yeah. He's got a record player in his mail truck.
Nice.
So then I'm like, why do I have this? Then I ordered... I ordered Alice Cooper Last Temptation. The wrong version showed up from Amazon. I had to send that back. And then I ordered my number one for Texas Hippie Coalition, High in the Saddle. And it shows up. First off, it said it was a double vinyl, which makes no sense because it was a 40-minute album. I'm like, okay, great. That's odd. But then it shows up and it's a colored vinyl that looks like a gobstopper. It looks like they took all the colored, like they melted whatever was left in the vinyl vat. It wasn't even a tie dye. It just looked like somebody threw up over the record. That one wouldn't even play. So I had to send that one back. I'm like, why? I am trying, Baco, I am trying to give these artists money. And from the production to the shipping to them being listed wrong, everything is going wrong against me and to them. Why has this happened? Why can't we just have a quality product?
I only ask because it's you. You don't see a karmic connection to all this stuff happening?
I know, but I'm the person. I am a person that has a music pause. You know who this should happen to? Is it because the Cobra Hacks? Is this why this is happening?
It's for so many things, Luce.
I think So I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm just going to steal my music and move forward.
Nice.
In a gun rack, I'm a lowlife. I owe everybody money. I think racist jokes are funny. I'm a lowlife. I got a dirty mind, a gutter mouth. I'm making time. I'm going out with your wife. 'Cause I'm a lowlife. I'm a lowlife. I've never seen, and their mama's 17. I'm a lowlife. I take strippers out to breakfast. You can add that to my checklist. I'm a lowlife. Oh, the landlord called, the rent is due. I spent it all on a Kiss tattoo. I rock and roll all night, 'cause I'm a lowlife. I'm a lowlife.
Time do you spend following former Scorpions drummer James Kotak's Twitter page?
I love it when you ask this kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, it's amazing the social pages that you follow. That's all I can tell you. The answer is no, please. I don't even know who he is. So please give me his background a little bit more. Is he always a Scorpions drummer? Is he a drummer of note? What?
Yeah, well, he was like a Scorpions drummer somewhat recently. I first heard of him when he was like detained in Abu Dhabi or something like that. Abu Dhabi? I'm not even fucking saying that right. Somewhere, you know, somewhere in Saudi Arabia area.
Oh, by the way, Abu Dhabi is where David LaRoth lives.
Nice. I don't remember the exact reason, but of course, the Scorpions went on and played a show without him. He apparently is no longer in the band, and we might know why. I can thank Vic Ruiz for bringing to my attention that he was, I think, the original drummer and maybe current drummer of the Reunited Kingdom Come, if you remember those guys.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I know that they're in Monsters of Rock, and they're the one where like, why are they on the Monsters of Rock bill?
Ah, fuck that! I loved it.
Okay.
Anyway, let me hit you with some of these headlines. These are things that he's been tweeting. Anyway, all right. So back in November, he took to Twitter. I don't know if the dates are important. He blasts these out so fucking much. He went on Twitter and said this. Okay, so the percentage of black Americans in the U.S. is about 13%. So why are they represented 50 to 60% on all commercials? Just saying, call me out if you have a reasonable argument.
All right, so he's
maybe none of you have the balls to speak the truth, he added shortly after that tweet.
Okay, so Kingdom Come, first off, has to be loving this guy. But so he's a big fan of
percentages. That was what Vic said. He was like, how are they not fired this fucker yet?
Wow. Okay, so he's saying that statistically it doesn't make sense that the black Americans are in half of the commercials. Yes?
Yeah. They don't come to his house on the holidays. Why should he see them in commercials?
Yeah.
So how can they afford that car?
You racist piece of shit.
So he's saying that statistically, when his family comes to the holidays, that there's a 13% chance that one of them is black. Yes? Mm-hmm. And if it was higher than that, then that goes off. I'm guessing
gene pool, the percentage is much lower statistically.
I'm guessing, yes. But
sounds like a lot of fun, this guy.
I hope at the next Kingdom Come press conference he whips that fact out.
Maybe they give him a spot during his drum solo that he just gets to like share his thoughts.
He does. Maybe he does. That's the whole thing. I'm going to let that go because I think it'd be great if he does the Bobby Blotzer thing when he comes out on stage and says some crazy shit.
Just to remind y'all, I'm kind of a dick. All right, so here's another one for you. This one has to do with law enforcement. He tweeted, all law enforcement should be men. Next time your house is on fire, who do you want? 6'4" Willie standing strong as an ox or a 5'4" petite Shelley? Jeez, please. Okay, is law enforcement also the ones who come to your house during a fire? I thought it was firemen. Is that all kind of the same to you or not?
I think those are firemen, yes. I don't think there are people trying to arrest people during a fire, no. So he's a little off on that.
He doesn't want black people buying cars or other stuff on or eating, you know, McDonald's or whatever on his TV commercials. At least not a disproportionate percentage.
You racist piece of shit.
Because that affects him in a very heavy way. He does not want women putting out fires for his law enforcement duties.
Already I can see why you just continuously stay subscribed to his page.
he's a fucking barrel of laughs, man. This guy. Well, there's another one coming up here. You might like this one.
Sure.
He is sick of seeing commercials. Again, he watches a lot of fucking TV, apparently. Not like my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law only has a TV, so she can mention how little she watches it. Ho!
I see.
There's a holiday joke for you. He is sick, Luce, of seeing commercials featuring interracial couples insisting that is not reality.
You racist piece of shit.
I am sick of every other commercial having interracial couples. This is not reality. It is Hollywood shoving it down our throat. I don't have one friend or friends who live in this category. Just saying.
You racist piece of shit.
Big shock that he doesn't have interracial friends, right?
It is, but I actually did see this post because it was shared on Phil Ensemble's page.
Are you sure it wasn't just that Phil Ensemble gave it a like?
I think it was. Well, he liked all the other ones. This is the one I actually saw because it was shared.
Okay. Oh, man.
Are you sure this guy doesn't have a show on Fox?
I'm not even sure this guy isn't at my Christmas parties. When the family gets together, I'm pretty sure this guy is the guy who really wants to educate all of us and tell us how the world really is.
According to him, there's an 87% chance that he should have been at your Christmas party. Statistically.
That's some quick math. I think it's a higher percentage than that.
maybe this is the result of him hanging out as the drummer for Scorpions and being around Germans too much.
There's your link. Anyway, climate change my ass. It's all BS. So call out India and China and call them out. Democrats, just go away. We account for 1% of the world's population. get off your planes, Dems, dumbs. I gotta believe he's not right on that 1%.
I have one thing to say, and that's just play the fucking drums.
No shit. This is, by the way, yeah, this is why we don't let drummers talk. Okay? You just play the fucking drums. I have one last one for you that I want to close out for.
Oh, please.
This one goes back to July 4th.
Oh, this is the 4th of July. This is an Independence Day tweet.
This is probably going to basically sum up everything we just read, depending on where your allegiances lie. We may lose a small percentage of our listeners, but I'm guessing they're all just having fun with this like we are. Happy 4th. Trump rules. That's it.
What's his name again?
James Kotak, former drummer of the Scorpions. I want to keep saying that because I think they're the ones that need to get involved. Like, come on and say something, man.
But I have to say, though, that first off, this guy is the opposite of a national treasure.
Racist piece
of
shit.
But the other thing I have to say is that this is like, what was the guy?
You're saying he's white.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
Racist piece of shit.
Here's the thing, though, is that...
Racist.
Racist piece of shit.
There are other national treasures. But
I know.
Point being...
Only one on this show. Well.
What's the name of the football player that would just jerk off at the drop of a dime? everywhere.
I think it's inmate 773192, but also known as Kellen Winslow Jr.
This is the same thing as NFL. The Kingdom Come. The Kingdom Come Incorporated corporation or whatever. What does it take to finally fire an employee?
For cause.
For cause. This is enough. I mean, does it say on his page?
I should mention he recently went on Twitter to say, apparently I'm not allowed to talk. I thought we could have discourse.
Oh, my God. Anyway. Yeah.
I love people that think this is discourse.
Is this the time when we drop the tour dates for Kingdom Come's reunion tour?
Catch James Kotak and the rest of Kingdom Come on a 2020 world tour coming to you.
On the floor.
Baco for keeping it light for 2020.
Nice, yeah, of course. You know, I'm always there for you, Luce. Go check out James Kotak on Twitter, people.
Okay.
Before we get too carried away, I did want to mention that we do have a couple of beers from the Buy Us a Beer campaign to get caught up. That'll be handled right quick as soon as we get into this stuff. We do have some surprises unrelated to our show coming up. I don't want to say exactly what they are, but they're in the can. So in addition to, you know, like I said, we have a couple episodes that will keep us busy here for at least a few weeks. But I did have one other little quick thing in the news that I wanted to hit you with before we get out of here. Vinnie Vincent just had his Christmas bash here in the middle of December.
Could I correct you, please? It's actually called the Vinnie Vincent Christmas Gash.
Oh. Hey, cheers to that. You're getting into another one of these German beers here.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Does that take you off guard a little bit?
Yeah, I'm leaving it in, though, baby. The Vinnie Vincent gash. Christmas gash. He's got apparently a Valentine's gash.
He does, yes. He's consistent.
Jesus. Yeah, disgusting. The Vinnie Vincent hatchet wound. Yeah. Anyway.
Vinnie Vincent gut locker.
Man, there goes the female audience again. we just got
I know. Every episode, we start making progress and we lose them. Sorry.
Oh, man. When are we going to learn? Anyway.
At least we have two segments in a row of racism and misogyny.
Got to keep up the quote. So Vinny talked about a possible new box set called the Vinny Vincent Archives or something like that. He had a little prototype that they held up on a table during his interview with Mike Brunn. And he mentioned there's possibly 15 to 20 CDs going to be in this thing, and he's probably going to do a vinyl version of this. Of course, this is never going to happen. Even if it did, the price point for the limited audience that would be for a product like this, it would make that box set from the 90s that he never delivered, you know, seem cheap at $300. For what, six or seven cassettes or whatever?
I don't know. If you put a run in for 30, you should be pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't found a pressing plant that'll do less than 100, so he's probably going to have 70 to 80 of these just sitting around that he's got to factor in the cost on. So, yeah, the price point of this thing is, yeah, especially the vinyl version, just like, it's going to be like 40 records. Oh, my God. And then what? Does it even make sense to press like demos onto vinyl? Like, I really enjoy the warmth of this, this fifth demo. Generation cassette recording.
Can I tell you unique about the Vinnie Vincent?
Shoot you full of love.
Sorry. What's very unique about the Vinnie Vincent vinyl box set is the fact that the vinyls have no holes.
Gotta drill your phone.
Saved
money doing it that way.
You get a discount if you get the no hole version. You have to measure exactly to the middle, and then he gives you the drill bit.
All these records spinning kind of off. I did hear that you get one free with every Vinnie Vincent Fame Wagon purchase.
Oh, yes, that's right. It's in the trunk.
God bless the guy. It does sound like the last event came off, and you know, as expensive as it was, he did do like basically a 2-day, 10-hour meet and greet. And if you're really into an artist, that's not that bad of a deal for $500. People pay more than that to stand next to Kiss while they frown for 8 seconds. So yeah, in a way, Vinny's like, he's bang for your buck when he does deliver. But boy, you know, it's sketchy to get in there, isn't it?
So a couple episodes ago, we talked about reunions such as Bang Tango, and now we have the Bullet Boys reunion.
Yeah, so now my Bullet Boys tribute band is obsolete.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Torian.
Smooth up in ya.
Smooth up in ya!
I'm actually pretty excited about this. I hope the tour is called Come At Me, Bro. What do you think?
That'd be a great tour name. I would definitely be down for that. I'm actually hoping to get Mark back, or get Mark on the show sometime this year. We'll see if that happens. It's been radio silence in my efforts so far, so maybe the listeners can kind of reach out and say, hey, bro. You got to go on the show.
I think it's, but we're partly responsible for the reunion and the surge in popularity of the Bullet Boys.
I would think so. Yeah, I actually enjoyed the last two records more so Elefante than From Out of Nowhere. If anything, I'm probably a little disappointed that they would not touch anything off of Elefante when they do this tour, because I do think it's one of the Bullet Boys' best records. That said, I'm actually looking forward to it. Maybe they'll do a record together, all that kind of stuff. I don't think, God, there's just so much negativity and bad blood that is out there that we know about, that has been stated and said. This is not a band that like sat in secrecy while they stewed over each other. So I have two predictions for 2020. I'm going to say it right now. David Lee Roth doesn't finish the Kiss tour. He's opening up for them. And this Bullet Boys thing collapses before it succeeds.
Huh.
They'll get out. They'll start doing it. They'll do a few shows, but there will be no tour. The same bullshit problems will come up. There just isn't enough money to make it worthwhile for everybody to hate.
Well, hold on. But the band that was the Bullet Boys without Mark was called like Lies, Deceit, and Mark Slept With My Wife, right?
Or was it that, or was it Lies, Deceit, and Mark Stole All My Money?
It was one of the two. I can't remember the exact. There's a lot of commas.
Oh, it was Lies, Deceit, and Mark Didn't Pay Child Support.
Oh, that too, yeah. A lot of things. It's very rare you see.
How about this? Is Sonny Pooney and Stephen Michael, are they going to basically shut down their podcast because Lies, Deceit, and Mark is a Liar broke up?
Well, I have to say that the reunion happened because all four of those people were stuck on a boat. Remember I made a joke about that? That they were.
Yeah, yeah.
They're on that cruise, and that both bands were there. I guarantee at some point they cracked open a beer and said, Let's make this work. I got to tell you, though, I highly enjoyed seeing the whatever version of Bullet Boys was on the road a couple years ago. They were great. Yeah. Mark was great. Overall, both of us had a good experience.
A really killer band, and Mark sounds amazing still.
He does. I had a great time at the show. And
plus, they, you know, nobody goes to the show, so you can get real close.
Well, I don't, you know, there'll be a slight there'll be a slight increase, but I have a feeling they'll be playing. It'll say something. We'll play Smooth All Up in You in entirety or whatever, but hopefully it's not that, because it gets really boring.
I'm pretty sure if this comes near my area, I'll be able to enjoy a few songs, go take a leak, get a beer, come back, and have my spot right up front without an issue.
Well, sure, yeah. But I gotta tell you that this is one of those bands of their ilk that's kind of, you know, that kind of made it, didn't completely make it, that actually do sound good.
Sure.
As far as the singer goes.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I gotta believe the band. You know what? I saw the promo pictures. The band looks good. You can't say that about Grim Reaper.
There's no reading off an iPad on a pedestal, like sitting there
with one leg.
They have all their
readers. With readers.
First thing whenever I see these band reunions, they go, "Yep, they have all their limbs. Check." They have.
So you're skipping the Def Leppard Motley tour.
Oh yeah, that's correct. That's right. Oof, that'll be in another show in the future. People, well, there's plenty out there to do on that.
Oh, we got a lot of stuff already on the docket for 2020. But
well, listen,
I think it's time we got out of here, don't you think?
I think it's time to get out of here. I got to tell you, this is easily the best podcast I've done in my car, sitting in my parking lot at work, so far in 2020. So I can put that on my.
This is also the best podcast ever recorded in my stepson's kitchen in Waseca, Minnesota.
You see the dedication we have, people? We make it work for your listening pleasure. Rock's not dead.
But Paul Stanley's Twitter page is Live to Win.
hear me say gash well enough? Because I think I stuttered when I said gash.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.